Hey there, welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, how are you doing this week?
Doing all right. Yeah, doing all right. I wasn't sure what kind of intro you'd give us this week. And so we're evolving right there. We've got like a half sentence. So that's improvement. We're really coming along here.
I do appreciate kind of getting to the point. I listen to some podcasts where it's like 2 or 5 minutes of just stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, get to the meat of the matter already. So I'm giving myself a pat on the back for us getting to it.
Yeah, no, well deserved, I think. Yeah. But how are things going on your end?
Things are good. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, getting some clarity about the stuff we've talked about recently, as far as like kind of getting more resources into the business. Don't have anything like specific that I can talk about right now, but like moving forward and feeling good about it, which I think is good. Yeah, and I think it kind of plays into what we're talking about today, which is like, as we move from, you know, the saying is like the maker to the manager, like how our priorities and responsibilities are changing. So I'm excited to kind of dig into that because I think we're both changing quite a bit as we're growing. Yeah, how about you? How are things?
They're going well. It's in a weird spot for me where I know you started the evolution into a manager much earlier than I did. And I'm trying to do my best to embrace that and find ways to just bring in freelancers and contractors to help move the ball forward in different areas, whether it's SEO or design or even some parts of engineering. And I'm just finding myself managing and just overseeing a lot of different projects. And it's a very weird feeling for me where I'm used to coming up with a strategy myself and then going in and executing a good portion of it, or at least like trying to just be much more involved in it. And now we've found some great people to kind of take the ball and run with it. It's just a weird feeling where like I don't always feel productive, because to me it's like these calls and all this, like we're obviously making progress on things, but I don't feel like I'm the one doing it. Do you ever feel like that, where it's just like, you know, things are moving forward, but it just kind of feels like you're not, I don't know. Do you get what I'm saying?
Not valuable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
for sure. I think that for me, a big one is like, if we're making progress on the thing, you know, if we're running a marketing campaign, if we're developing a feature, if we're, you know, starting to build culture in the organization, and those things are happening, if I'm a part of it, even just as like a manager of it, and other people are doing the work, I feel great. I think the hard part is when you're not doing the work and there's problems, you know, then that's just when I get stressed. You know, I just like, what's wrong? Why can't I do anything valuable? And why can't I be a good manager and leader of the company? Like, that's when I just get bent out of shape. Yeah, it's challenging.
Yeah, because I think on my end, I'm still having to accept that there is value in finding the people to run with all these different projects and making sure we're going on pace. But it's just like, when I still haven't delegated everything away and I have my own projects that I could be working on, and I don't make progress on that, it's like, at the end of the day, I can feel like, oh, I didn't get anything done today. When really it's like, no, I spent several hours mocking up design stuff and coordinating with the designer so that they have everything they need to finish the redesign of the app. And yeah, it's just me talking a lot and thinking and things like that, which feels like less productive. But if at the end of this, we get a well-designed app, then that's amazing. And so I just have to kind of accept that my work is changing and it still is valuable. But it is hard when I'm just like, there's all these other things that I'd like to do, but just haven't been able to get to.
Yeah. I've been trying to form like this as a tweet. I've been trying to be a little more active on Twitter. I don't know why, but like in the last week or so, I've tweeted a few times. And so like I've been trying to formulate this as a tweet, which I think is the idea that we're talking about. And it is, as you move from like the maker to the manager, you still have these few things that draw you back into the maker world, you know, so like marketing campaigns or mocking up in Figma or Balsamiq or whatever, to where you have to think that like, this is the highest priority, most important thing for me to do. You know, like those few things that are keeping you working in the business, you know, versus on the business. And like that pressure is really substantial, I think. And like, it might be unfair that like it's so substantial that like you should be able to do whatever you want. It might not be the absolute most high value thing for you to do, but like if you like it, then there's some value in that, you know? And I think that like we get caught up a lot in we. I mean, like the community. Oh, every second that I'm working has to be like things that only I can do and that I am the highest leverage, most impactful person working on this thing. And I think that that creates some stress in us that isn't necessary, you know, that like we can just say, you can just say like, I like designing UI and so I'm going to do it. And we can have people do a bunch of other stuff that like maybe I am the best one to do, but I don't really enjoy. I don't know. Do you think about that a lot? That like you want to kind of guard some of that stuff just because you like it?
A bit. I mean, I try to have some sort of balance there because I think, and this is probably just my inexperience showing, but it's just like with where we're at, I don't see us, at least in the areas where I have competence, I just don't see us bringing in the super senior people who can completely run with even just like the UI design. It's like, I want them to design it, but like, I'm going to have a pretty well documented spec for them of just like giving them context, giving them all this information. And then I'm going to give feedback throughout the process. Like I don't see a near future where on those kind of things, I'm going to completely hand it off. But a lot of it is probably too, because like I'm not a designer at all, but I do enjoy, I just want to have a significant role in product for a while. I think there's a lot of value there, but it is something that I enjoy. And yeah, I think it's finding some of those things that are okay to hold on to for longer because you enjoy them. As long as it's not, I think you also have to though be proficient. Otherwise you're holding the company back. I think like, I definitely realized this when it took us a while to bring in a designer, because I was like, all right, like I'm not going to redesign this myself, but I think if I can just do some like low fidelity mockups, that will be enough for the front end developer to then kind of work things around in the right way. I mean, like we don't need a designer, I can do this. And then like saw what they gave me. And I was like, oh, this is horrible. But it's it's my fault. We need a designer. And so it's like, all right, like even though I enjoyed that process, the result was just bad. And so I think it's figuring out like, okay, what are the things I enjoy I'm at least like proficient at? And I think it's the bigger picture product stuff is where I feel like I have a good experience there. And also just like attention to detail. So I can come in at a high level with ideas and just point the project in the right direction. But like, I'm not going to put it together at all. And then once it is together though, I can kind of go back in and work on the like really kind of anal retentive details, just making sure everything's consistent and all of that. But the marketing part is where I really don't enjoy the execution on marketing, but I also just know like that's been my background for a long time and I know I can do it well. So it's like, it's something where it's definitely not in that zone of enjoyment and competence. It's the competence is there, but not the enjoyment. But I just think it's going to be such a pain in the ass to hire that. And like, I'll be like a shitty client or boss for that for now. So it's just been finding ways to like work with SEO freelancers, work with different people who can kind of take bite-sized parts off my plate that like I'm fine with. But at the end of the day, as we are thinking more about the next hires, I am trying to find a balance of like, what are the things that I want to keep doing? Even again, like you were saying, even if it's not necessarily the absolute best use of my time, and what are the things that I don't want to do, even if I'm okay at it or good at it even. And it's just, I think there's merit to giving ourselves permission to not always be hyper rational about those decisions. Because like, this is, I hate the cliches, but it's like, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And if we just dread every day just having to work on these things or just handle these projects or responsibilities, whatever it is, like that's going to make it horrible and less likely that we get to a good outcome, or at least with our sanity intact. So I don't know, what are the areas for you that you're thinking about either getting rid of, but you think there's like an argument for keeping, or the other way around where it's like, you probably could hand it off pretty easily, but you enjoy it.
So I'm not going to answer that directly, but just because there's a like a, another way I think about it that I think might be helpful for you and for the folks listening of like, we've hired some people that are very clearly better than I could ever do at like what they do in the company, right? Like Matt Medeiros is one of those at like creating content and kind of being a voice. And like, he just has that energy and wants to do that. And it's like so much better than I could do. And because of that, like, I am very comfortable and confident with him just like running with that. And then like, as a result, I think I'm really happy just being a manager of him and of like that part of the business. And I think where I am, and like, maybe this would apply, maybe like this is kind of what you're saying about like the marketing hire for you, is I only want to hire if we can get the right person in that I could be very comfortable with just being a manager, because like, that's where we're headed, right? You're headed to like, and we have this Fred Wilson article, like the three things a CEO does, like we're headed to like the very far end of that spectrum where all you do is manage the team, make sure there's money in the bank, and relay the vision to the team so they can go execute on it. You know, like those are the three things he mentions in this article. And I think if you can't hire the, if for us, if you can't hire the people to let you be comfortable in that, then like, don't make that hire, and you like, I stay or you stay in that role until you can find the person or until you can afford it or whatever. And so like, for me, like the few things that I'm still involved in are like sales, a little bit of product, and right now a little bit of marketing, but like, we'll hire probably somebody for all three of those before the end of the year, surely, because I do want to be able to get to the kind of far end of that spectrum and just be a manager. And I think I'm just getting comfortable with this, but I think that I am very valuable to the company as a manager, you know? And that's like a weird thing to say, but like, I have the vision. Me communicating that vision, I think, to the team is really helpful. Able to get money in the bank and make sure that we stay in business and like keep the team like happy and growing and healthy and things. And like, and then if we have the right people in, then like a lot of that stuff that on the implementation level kind of just happens, because you don't have to babysit like a junior B level player. You just have somebody in there that you can say, I want to run this organic campaign. Let's, you know, go do it. This is what I want the outcome to look like. I'm happy to help you with whatever, but I expect you to kind of own it. So like, that's the kind of level that I'm trying to get to. And like, if we can't get there, then we're just not going to hire anybody, and I'll keep doing it. Because I think hiring that person that requires more of my time than if we don't have anybody, then that's just like worse than doing nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm. How are you deliberately seeking these people out? Because I feel like where I'm at right now, everything that we've hired for, we've kind of had very clear expectations, like this is the type of person, like this is the project, that the type of work they're going to be doing. And like on marketing, that's been fine because it's just easy to find like the specialists, and I still want skill and talent, but I haven't yet really run into the people where I could be a pure manager. I just haven't had enough faith to really do that. And so I'm still going to be involved with that process more as like an editor, but I want to have input on the strategy and all of that. But on the development side, we've kind of started out in that path, but along the way, we've found some great talent who we can give a lot more leeway to and really let them run with things. And even support with Ross, he's in that same position where it's like, all right, came in, just wanted someone to help me with the inbox, but have a ton of faith in him and his role's expanded. And it's like, when we get those great people in, it's been great. And we've just expanded their roles as necessary. But I haven't had success at really seeking those people out or finding a way to recruit those kind of people or even identify those kind of people. It's just been through, not necessarily even luck, but it's just by working with more and more people, a few stand out and we keep working with them on a deeper level. So for you, when these kinds of people are so valuable, are you being deliberate about attracting them and recruiting them? Or where are you at in that part of the process?
So where we are right now, I'll talk about where we are right now and where I think we need to get. Like, where we are right now is a little bit of like my and our network of like our Kim, the support specialist that we just hired, came from a previous job posting, but that was like 6 months ago or something. And then like she was on our email list and we, you know, ended up hiring her because we mentioned it in an email newsletter. So like that was kind of both. But then like we post on Dynamite Jobs and on WeWork Remotely. And that's where Denise came from. And that's where our most recent developer hire came from. And so I think that we're kind of like in this intermediate thing now of like posting in the popular places that are for the good people, like for to get the good people are super competitive. Like that the company has to sell the role and the position and the money and the stuff, I think, to these really top-notch people more so than they have to sell themselves, you know, especially with everyone working remotely now. Like that advantage is gone because everything is remote. So like, so that's where we are now. But like, I think a big part of, and again, this is part of the Fred Wilson article, is like, I think that a big part of my job in the future will be moving to like actively recruiting and expanding our recruiting network and like pipeline. So like you think about companies like ConvertKit maybe, right? Like for them to hire somebody is not as hard as it is for us or for you, you know, because like there's that name and, you know, Nathan himself is a big name and kind of established in this space. And like a lot of those conversations are easier just because of the work they've done around kind of their brand and his personal brand. So I think that's a thing that I need to do is start working on talking about and building up like our corporate culture and brand a little bit to where when we go to hire one, it's obvious, like it's on the website. We have, you know, a more robust team page and about us page and talking about our values and things like that. But also just like to have people mention us in the kind of hiring circles, I think, and like extending my network to like those really top-notch players. So that like if we want to hire a vice president of marketing, you know, then we can go hire that person, you know? But like right now, I would have no idea how to find a vice president of marketing that didn't just come through WeWork Remotely. And I think that's not where those people are because they already have jobs. You know, like at that level, you have to go steal them away from a competitor. And to do that, you as the company have to be a really appealing prospect for them to quit their job and all that. So that's like the next couple of years, I think, of a lot of my focus is working on that.
For us, it's going to our customers for the support role showed me just how valuable cultivating some real brand around your company is and having true fans of your brand, of your company, and people that want to just be part of it. Because when you have someone who's really bought in to who you are as a company and what you're doing, I just feel like naturally you're going to get a different sort of effort out of them. And they're not just showing up, clocking in, doing what's on the list and leaving without really much thought. They get the big picture and they can move things forward, really understanding the context more. But it's like companies can work without that. I think it's like if you're able to have a really top-down driven company where you're not necessarily micromanaging, but you're having your hands on everything to make sure it's all moving forward, I don't think it's as important to get those kind of like A players in there because you can spec everything out and get really clear on what needs to get done and work on it. But I don't think that's what either you or I are looking for. And that's why it's important to cultivate that brand. And I mean, I don't know how you feel, but you always hear the advice, like when you find a great person, hire them, even if you don't have a job for them. And I'm starting to understand that a lot more now because I know how rare it is to find those kind of people. And for a truly right person, like there's always things you can find for them to do and add value. We just really haven't been in a position to do that. It's like we don't have the extra revenue to support that, but we're getting to the spot where like that's realistic. And so I can see in the next few months, even just starting to be more engaged with our customers and our community to find those kind of people and then just make positions for them. Is that something at all you've thought about? Or
yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, I like we saw that with hiring Matt Medeiros, right? Like Matt's our director of podcaster success, but he's really like a kind of half marketing role, half a little bit like enterprise sales, because that's what he did at his previous job and does some kind of success. So like a third maybe. And like that was not my intention at all with that role, is to hire somebody like that. But he's, you know, that good of a candidate and a hire that like you kind of, we molded the role to him. And so we kind of saw like, ooh, this is like, he knew me. I've been on his podcast. He's been on my podcast, you know, all this kind of stuff. He had confidence in me and in us and what the company's doing. And so it like made that whole thing possible, you know, that like, that was a glimpse into like, ooh, if we do a lot more of this and do it better, then yeah, in the future, when we need to hire that like vice president of whatever, or a COO, like we can go hire, you know, the guy from Drip or, you know, MailChimp or whatever. And they, you know of us and to where it's not this huge risk for them. Yeah. And I think that like in the interim though, like the people, like the way I like to think about it is like the people that we hire now into these roles are going to grow into being the leaders of these divisions in the future. So like, yeah, we can't afford and we can't recruit those like superstar A players right now. We kind of don't need it because we're only 9 people. So like I can, without it being dictatorial, I can kind of be top down because it's only, we're only one layer. But when we start having like, we're 4 developers now. Like when we get to be 5 or 6 developers, like either Jonathan is going to need to be like a, you know, CTO or whatever, engineering lead, and not write any code anymore. Or we're going to have somebody do that because, you know, 6 or 8 developers, you have to have somebody manage just them. And so he either will grow into that role, which he is on the way to, or we'll find somebody else to do that. And so that's just kind of how I look at it. It's like, yeah, we're, you know, 4 developers, we're 2 support people, you know, we're kind of 1 everywhere else. But like, as you get to that, like 5, 6, 8 people in a division, like you got to have a head, like a strong head, you know, lead of each of those. And I think you can grow them internally and develop them. And that's a big part of like, I think what we do as leaders, or you have to go hire them. And then like you as a networker and your company's brand have to be strong to be able to bring those people away from, surely they have another job, you know, into what you're doing. But, you know, it brings up something else that like, I can't believe I'm thinking about it, but like speaking about like Jonathan, our lead developer, is like, he has asked, and I would love to give him like development training, not like software development, like leadership development.
Like CTO training. Coaching almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And like when he brought it up 1.5 years ago, I was like, no, like we're 2 developers, like just go write code. And now like we're 4 and he's managing quite a bit of stuff. And like, I know like if we hire another 2 people or something, like he's going to be a manager basically. It's those kind of things that I'm starting to think of, is like how, you know, I'm leveling myself up through like coaching and stuff like that. And how can I provide those resources for the people that are going to be in leadership positions for us, you know?
Yeah. And I know that's something Jordan Gall talks a good amount about, is working with coaches, not just with him, but on other parts of the team to level mm-hmm. up. And I just feel if you have someone who not just shows the ambition to move up the ranks, so to say, but the willingness and eagerness to develop the skills to get there. Yeah, I feel like it's just a no-brainer to find ways to help them and encourage them get there, because that is rare. I feel like to find someone who's not just, again, ambitious, but also understands, aware enough to understand that they need to level up their skills and showing that they want to do that.
Yeah. And I think it's crucial, you know, like at this stage, that like bringing someone in that can't be a leader later on, I think is not a deal breaker, but pretty close, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think some of my struggles on the marketing side are that with the space that we're currently going after, I do see a cap on the TAM of like the DFS tool space is not massive. And so I'm always mindful of that. I think there are ways we can grow beyond that and continue scaling the company, but I'm not positive that's what we want to do. And so on the marketing side, it's sort of like I'm trying to hire me. Like I'm trying to hire myself a few years ago. And if I find that person, then that'd be great to get on board. But it's like, if our peak is going to be a few million dollars a year, do we need that? If I don't see there being like multiple marketers under this person and all that, like, or should I just own this indefinitely? Because I think if I can get good people to execute, I don't like, this is part of kind of going back to what you're talking about earlier about the things we enjoy. It's like, I really do enjoy the marketing strategy work. And so I don't think that would be bad for me to just own that for a while and be the marketing manager, as long as we had good executors. That's kind of where I think where I get hung up a lot is just thinking about, all right, what is the leanest team we can have within reason that can get us where we want to go while delivering the speed and service and everything else that we want to offer? And it's like replacing myself is just not as urgent, even if I don't really want to do all of that stuff forever. It's just, it gets tougher when I'm thinking from that side. Whereas I feel like you have a clear grand vision in mind, and the market potential is massive. It is growing. And so it's just like all hands on deck, and it's going to be like that for a while. And that's kind of what I'm struggling with, is just finding that balance of, all right, I want to focus on higher leverage things, but at the same time, we want to generate a good amount of free cash flow. So where should I find places to sacrifice by just like doing a bit more than just being a pure manager and all of that?
Yeah, I do think in that respect, there's definitely a sweet spot of, you know, yeah, it's a few developers, you know, it's a marketing person of some sort, maybe even kind of part-time just to execute some copywriting or some on-site stuff. It's a support person. And I think a lot of times that can be it, you know, so you're a team of six maybe. And I think you can go a long way with that kind of team for sure. Because I think the other part of that is like, I think you start seeing diminishing returns.
Right.
After a while, especially on the development side, that like more developers doesn't mean a lot faster. Like it's not two or three times as faster. It's like, you know, 50% faster or something. That diminishing return is like a negative incentive to grow the team.
Yeah, just go back and forth, because I don't want to have a limiting mindset, but I don't necessarily think this is the company that's going to get to 100 million or things like that. Like I just don't. And so I don't want to build a team as though that's the trajectory we're on. And so it's that balance of, I think, again, if we find the right people, we want to hire them. And fortunately, the partners in the company are willing to, especially when it comes to working on the models and some things that might not pay direct dividends as much, the partners on the team are willing to forgo some profits for that, for those kind of hires. But it's just trying to say, okay, for being realistic, we are still ambitious, but we see a reasonable ceiling and we want to make sure we get there very profitably. And so those are kind of the constraints that I'm working within. And it's just, it's just, like I said, they're just constraints, and it's figuring out how to optimize around those.
Yeah. And it evolves over time, I think, you know, like you see something different in the market and the opportunity or how you want to work. And I think it's a cool thing about owning your own business, right? Those things can change and you don't have to ask anybody's permission or, you know, get approval for anything. It's just like, all right, we're going to hire, we're not going to hire, and we're going to grow like this. And that's cool. It's your deal.
How has your vision for Castos evolved over the years? Because now it's not that there was ever a period of a lack of ambition by any means, but it does seem like you're setting your sights higher than maybe you had in the past. So like, how has that evolved for you?
You know, I've had kind of periods of like, ambition. Ambition's always kind of the same, but I think that like seeing the path to getting there makes me more excited about, you know, really pursuing it. And I think that like right now we definitely see the path and we just have to go, you know, attack it. Whereas, before maybe like a year ago, about a year ago, I was kind of like, I don't know, like we're just trucking along and this is fine. Like we might just do this for a while. And we might do it for a while, but I think that like we see this thing that is like a tangible market and opportunity, and I know where to go find these folks and I know what to do, and we just have to go do it. And so like it's just easier to think about, I guess, is kind of like where I am now. And it sounds like that might not be where you are. And so I think it's cool to just kind of not coast, but just kind of sit back and observe, right? And like when that thing happens to where it's really clear, then go after it.
Yeah, because for us, it's I see paths to significantly expanding the potential scale of the business. It's just very different from what we're doing now. And it's also very outside of our skill set. It would be basically just go, it would be coming like an enterprise data company where we would sell, we'd open up. It's what we do for ourselves already is pull in tons of different data sources, clean it up, and package it in a way that's more valuable on its own. And a lot of it's data that can't even be like automatically collected, whether it's by combing over Twitter for different things and just all these pieces that like we have a very valuable data set, but shifting to a company that sells that data, one requires immense internal technical expertise to make sure we have an enterprise grade API. It requires like enterprise sales. And it's just all these areas that are just so far outside of what we do best that it's like, yeah, I'm not writing that off by any means. And we're going to keep moving towards that. But right now it just seems so far, we just have to level up in so many different ways that it's just like not the approach I'm optimizing for, even if we're going towards it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And I don't think that's wrong. You know, I think that like, if you're going towards that, but it's not the right time or you're not in the right place or the product is not close enough, then it would be hard to get excited about it. And so I don't think that's wrong, you know?
Yeah, it's challenging because it's like, again, we're not dramatically shifting our roadmap to get to a point where we could easily pivot to that place, but it's still just the natural progression of things is we want to have more reliable data infrastructure. We want to build these things anyway. So there will be a point where down the road where I think I'll have to think a lot harder about this, about whether we pursue it or not. But for now, we've got our hands full with our current market and there's a lot of growth potential there. So it's just like trying to capture as much of that as we can and not planning too far for the future. Because yeah, it's just with limited resources, a small team, we just really have to focus, which is it's tough for someone that likes to daydream and strategize and just think about all the different options. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely understand. Cool. Well, this is a fun conversation. I think it's interesting to talk through this. I know like I, as we're talking through it, kind of reflect on how I feel and like where I feel like I am. So I think it's really just healthy to kind of dig through this stuff and share kind of where we are with everybody. I hope it's helpful to listeners. You know, folks out there have, you know, questions or comments or feedback. Yeah, shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com.
Awesome. It was fun chatting. Thanks for listening, everybody.